तयाभिहि तनाकर्ण्या कंसपारामभिस्मिता देवकीं वासुदेवं च विमुख्या प्राश्रितो भवेत् तयाभिहि तनाकर्ण्या कंसपारामभिस्मिता देवकीं वासुदेवं च विमुच्या प्राश्रितो भ्रवित् प्रिश्चन् कंसपारामभिस्मिता देवकीं वासुदेवं च विमुच्या प्राश्रितो भ्रवित् तया बाय द गॉडेस दुर्गा अभिहितम् द वर्ड स्पोकन आकर्ण्य बाय हियरिंग Kamsaha, Kamsa, Paramabhismitaha, was struck with wonder. Devakin, unto Devaki, Vasudevancha, and Vasudeva, Bimucha, releasing immediately, Pashritaha, with great humility, Abhravit spoke as follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After hearing the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Thus he approached his sister Devaki and brother-in-law Vasudeva, released them immediately from their shackles and very humbly spoke as follows. Purport. Kamsa was astonished because the goddess Durga has become the daughter of Devaki. Since Devaki was a human being, how could the goddess Durga become her daughter? This was one cause of his astonishment. How is that the eighth child of Devaki was a female? This also was astonishing him. Asuras are generally devotees of Mother Durga, Shakti, or demigods, especially Lord Shiva. The appearance of Durga in her original eight-armed feature, holding various weapons, immediately changed Kamsa's mind about Devaki's being an ordinary human. Devaki must have had some transcendental qualities, otherwise, why would the goddess Durga have taken birth from her womb? Under the circumstances, Kamsa, struck with wonder, wanted to compensate for his atrocities against his sister Devaki. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Rumapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyade Shatarine. So, this chapter, the atrocities of King Kamsa, give us an entrance into a degraded, or the psyche, or the psyche of the degraded king. It's almost how this propensity to control this self-centered character, selfish, flickering of mind and positions, and acting solely according to looking after their self-interest, well, selfishness basically. And also we're going to see how he can be influenced by association. In general, these fallen rulers or degraded kings or kshatriyas, they're surrounding themselves by also sort of like devious demoniac characters, advisors. And how can they be influenced here and there, changing their mind constantly, their position? One thing that we see is this type of degraded kshatriyas, they respond by a show of force. Sometimes you see that in order to deal with a bully, that type of character, one have to show certain strength. If not physically, in general, bullies, they feel physically superior, the strength. But sometimes you show strength in the mind and confront, and then they respond to that. In the case of Kamsa, at this moment in which he actually, his pride was broken, and he became humble. So with humility, it is explained here, he will speak to both Devaki and Vasudev, and sort of have a moment of seeing reality. Seeing that his position of this powerful controller that everybody must bow down to was broken, that there is greater forces, something greater than him. And this came from Goddess Durga appearing to him with all her weapons. And of course, his position of, you know, seeing Goddess Durga, he was able to understand, you know, that this is a greater force than me. And then humble. But we'll see as the pastime goes that immediately when he goes into taking advice from his court, the people of his court, who were also demoniac, then immediately he bounces back to his demoniac nature, which is basically, is like a pathological controller. In some sense, you know, you see that to be a ruler or to be a king, there's not much in between. You're supposed to be a quite elevated person, quite very qualified, materially qualified. And when we talk about materially qualified, it's also necessary that the ruler also has certain, well, is supposed to have, or to have to be, to also be spiritually qualified. It's by design. It's how the whole universal arrangement created by Krishna is there. The ruler has to be, it is explained that according to Krishna's system, the king is the representative of God and earth. The system, the social system that is designed from the world for the universe is called Vanashram. Krishna says that he created the Vanashram Dharma, or the Vanashram social structure. And he creates that to have a very peaceful society, organized, perfectly organized. And each bar has a specific function. The Kshatriyas, their specific function is to guard society, to make sure that there is a peaceful obedience and compliance to religious principles. Krishna explains the qualities of a Kshatriya in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita: heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work of for the Kshatriya. But that reveals to us the material qualities of a Kshatriya, because we can find Kshatriyas that are irreligious and also have this type of qualities. For example, Duryodhan have these qualities. He was extremely heroic, powerful, with a determination that was, you know, you couldn't, very resourceful, courage him. He has all this, generous. With his friends and his families, he was extremely generous. The example of how Duryodhan was so generous to come to Karna, that because of his generosity to Karna, Karna felt completely obliged to Duryodhan. Just by their first meeting, Duryodhan gave Kamsa a kingdom, so he could be a king. Of course, he was an expert politician, but he was generous. He wanted to make an alliance with Karna to harass and defeat the Pandavas. So the element that is necessary is that the Kshatriyas must be a elevated devotee. So must have a spiritual qualification. Without a spiritual qualification, a Kshatriya won't be able to properly rule his people. In other words, a kshatriya must have the term that is used for a kshatriya, for a king, is a rajarshi. This is the Vedic king must be a rajarshi, which means that he's a raja and he's a rishi. He's a saintly king. That's how the term translates. The kings must be saintly as a representative of God in earth. So it's by nature is there, both spiritual and materially qualified. Without the spiritual qualification, then it will be a degraded king. In the Mahabharata, there's a narration when Bhishma Dev was in the bed of arrows, and he was approached under the instruction of Krishna by Maharaj Yudhisthira to receive the dharma of a kshatriya, to understand the dharma on the kshatriya from Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev gave the 36 qualities of a ruler, of a kshatriya, of a king, that must be followed. And they're very wonderful and they're timeless, so they always apply. I'm going to read them. This is from the Mahabharata, 76th chapter of the Shanti Parva, from, you know, Bhishma Dev instructions. Number one, observance of virtue without wrath and malice. Two, not abandoning kindness. Three, having Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Four, acquiring wealth without persecution and cruelty. Five, pursuing pleasures without attachments. Six, approaching with cheerfulness. Seven, liberal, but with caution. Eight, prowess without cruelty. Nine, making alliance, avoiding the wicked. 10, not acting with hostility towards friends. 11, not employing untrustworthy persons as spies. 12, accomplishment without aggression. 13, not disclosing purpose before the wicked. 14, speaking of others' merits but not of one's own. 15, taking wealth from subjects but not from those who are helpful through other means. 16, not employing those with negative qualities. 17, not inflict punishment without proper inquiry. 18, never disclosing plans. 19, giving away charity but not covetous. That's how you say covetous. What does it mean? Covetous. Holding without holding. How you say that word? Covetous. Having confidence on, so number 20, having confidence on trustworthy subordinates. 21, not cherishing malice. 22, protecting of a spouse. 23, pure in thoughts, words, and deeds. 24, not indulging in too much pleasure of companionship. 25, partaking food that is wholesome. 26, paying regards to elders and respected persons. 27, worshipping gods without pride. 28, actively seeking prosperity without doing anything that brings infamy. 29, serving others with humility. 30, good business acumen, but should wait for appropriate time. 31. Comforting people with proper words and not empty speeches. 32. Not abandoning someone who has been supported. 33. Never acting out of ignorance. 34. Never indulging in repentance, considering that the actions has been based on dharma. 35. Display temper only when it is necessary. And 36. Should be mild, but not to those who have offended. Should be mild, but not to those who have offended. So, to have this type of qualities, you have to be spiritually elevated to maintain it. Without a spiritual education, without having a proper training in transcendental knowledge, there's no questions of maintaining good qualities. By nature, when we come to this material world, we're infected by this duality of hate and desire. What is the verse? Icha dvesha samutena. Icha dvesha samutena. How's it go? Dwanda mohena bharata. Right? That this dualities of hate and desire is when you go all the way to the bottom of our conditioning in this material world, what brings us to this material world, you find that hate towards the personality of Godhead and desire for his position. So it's like an infectious disease. When we have an infectious disease, we have to treat it to actually keep it very weak and eventually eliminate it. But you have to constantly be taking the medicine or being protected, like a vaccine type of thing, right? Immune, you know, you have to immunize yourself by some treatment. So people who have AIDS, they able to manage, you know, the disease that it is a killer disease. But some people has been able to manage by taking certain type of treatment to immunize, you know, itself. So similarly, we have a treatment that has been given by Krishna himself. He says, in the beginning of creation, he gave forth mans and demigods. He sent forth mans and demigods and instructed, blessed them by saying, be thou happy by yagya. We have the process of yagya, the process of sacrifice according to religious principles, according to Krishna's instruction. How we receive, how to properly practice and perform yagya, then Krishna's process. We have to learn that from a self-realized soul who instructs us on how to properly do it. So, without that spiritual qualification, without that training, without receiving transcendental knowledge from a self-realized soul, without receiving the practices to be able to immunize and protect ourselves from the material disease, then that disease will actually take over. It will come. You stop your medicine, or you just don't do it for whatever circumstances, knowing or unknowingly, then the disease will come out. So we have that disease of desiring God's position. And when you put yourself without proper protection in the material atmosphere, you may have a particular propensity. A kshatriya have a propensity of power control like that. Natural, is a leader. So you put a kshatriya propensity without proper spiritual training, then power corrupts. Immediately brings out that uncontrolled desire for power and can take the shape of anything, because they do have power, and there is almost, they have a thirst for power. Not everybody have that, or you have one. We have different people of different propensities. It comes in different ways, the controlling thing. But for the kshatriyas, is especially, you know, big scale controlling of people and wealth and like that. So Kamsa is in this chapter we see the qualities of a degraded king. In a very extreme degree, you know, he was very powerful, very powerful. Nowadays, we have little Kamsas, the degraded rulers of Kali Yuga, which have been predicted in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 12th chapter, there's a description of the degraded degraded dynasties of Kali Yuga. And then one of the things that it says, you know, in a couple of verses, like in a sutra, you know, explaining what we're going to see, or what was going to be seen in Kali Yuga, which we actually experience, is that there will be many uncivilized kings ruling at the same time, all King Parikshit, and they will be all uncharitable, possessed of fierce tempers, and great devotees of irreligion and falsity. These barbarians in the guise of kings will devour the citizens, citizenry, murdering innocent women, children, cows, and brahmanas, and coveting the wives and property of other men. They will be erratic in their moods, have little strength of character, and be very short-lived. Indeed, not purified by any Vedic ritual and lacking in the practice of regulated principles, they will be completely covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. Prabhupada says this verse gives a concise, accurate description of the fallen leaders of this age. The citizens governed by these low-class kings will imitate their character, behavior, and speech of the rulers. Harassed by their leaders and by each other, they will all suffer ruination. And thus, how important it is to have Vedic kings, saintly kings, to have a peaceful society. Prabhupada claimed that task, the task to reestablish a proper social order. He gave the basis for that by creating a body of brahmanas. Because brahmanas are those who give transcendental education. So you start with that, society must be educated. And then from that, the natural arrangement is that you start to create that social order with leaders that are properly trained. So Prabhupada says that's 15% that is left for his followers to do of his work to establish Vanashram Dharma. It will be the basis of 10,000 years of golden age that is predicted in the scriptures. And we only cover of those 10,000 years a little over 500 years. So we're in the dawn of the age, golden age, which is in Kali Yuga. So some of us may not see the proper establishment of Vanashram Dharma within our lifetime, but it's going to happen because it's predicted in the scriptures. Our task is to it's almost pioneering, creating the basis for that great reality to come. So in this stage that we are right now is a stage of providing that transcendental training. We have to accept it ourselves, embrace it ourselves, and give it. So we have to receive it and we have to share it. So we have to purify ourselves and be examples of a life of dharma, of a life of param dharma, and be proper examples. Any comments or questions? Keshava Kishore.
Thanks for the class. My question is regarding Mother Durga. Is this kind of a reincarnation of Durga? Durga did exist before. Reason why Kamsa is in awe when and knew who she was?
Yeah. She's a demigoddess, so she's, she is a personification of material nature, so as long as in material
then
nature
they have that clear, that very much. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. She may manifest herself in there is some, she manifested as Sati, and then from Sati, then she took, she appeared as Parvati, and like that. she have different appearance and manifestation, but it's the you know, the signs to understand how these energies of the Lord, and the Lord and his energies, how they expand and they manifest and in different forms and things like that.
Yeah, that part I understand. What I mean is, because in the same way that the Lord has appeared in different circumstances, he is being called in with different names and has different attributes. In this particular appearance, was Durga before in the same, with the same attributes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's why he was recognized.
My question was that you said about good qualities. So like some people are just born with good qualities, like even when in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjun that do not worry because you have been and you are born with, you have divine qualities. So then how difficult is it to like actually develop qualities which one is not inherently born with? And then even if like one has some, everybody has good and bad qualities, it's not like there might be somebody who is just born with all good and no bad. And so then how does one like make the good qualities stronger or just work on the negative qualities and make that better?
One receive good qualities by the mercy of the devotee. And we have the cases of someone like Murugrati the hunter, who was full with cruelty and bad qualities, ignorance. And just by the association of Narada Muni, he became a saint. We have the prostitute that approached Haridas Thakur with wicked intentions. And just by the association with Haridas Thakur, she became a saint. So there are some personalities that they take birth with wonderful qualities already, because they're devotees that didn't complete their path of perfection, of self-realization, and they, wherever they left, they start. But in general, when Prabhupada asked this question, he said that he created our fortune. Most of us, we not necessarily see that I was, in my previous life, some advanced devotee. Rather, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, I become a devotee, and I'm able to develop good qualities. And so the development and the strengthening of good qualities is depending on following the instructions of the spiritual master. So if we're able to do that, then our good qualities will develop. If we don't do that, then our bad qualities that are so ingrained, we're so conditioned with bad qualities, then we'll flourish. It's like, Prabhupada gave the example of a gardening. So we have the creeper of devotional service, bhakti creeper. You have to guard it. If you don't properly pay attention to taking the weeds out, the weeds will choke the litter plant. So we have, that's the process that is called anartha nivritti. So it's by the spiritual master mercy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Regarding to what Ruchi said, there's a saying that saints had a past and sinners have a future.
Yeah, that's good. Very nice. Any other thing? Okay, thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I forgot I had some quotes of tyrants. It was super interesting, but maybe I read it tomorrow or something. Or should I read it now? We still have a lot of time. Should I read that? These are quotes from some of the most ugly tyrants, you know, especially a lot of them from Hitler. Let's see here. Hold on 1 second. Make this bigger. Okay. So Hitler. This is a quote for him. Make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually people will believe it. Adolf Hitler. Here's one for Joseph Stalin. Death is the solution to all problems. No man, no problem. Idi Amin. You cannot run faster than a bullet. Muammar Gaddafi. There is no state with democracy except Libya on the whole planet. This is Hitler again. Do not compare yourself to others. If you do, you're insulting yourself. Mugabe. The only white man you can trust is a dead white man. Stalin. Ideas are more powerful than guns. We will not let our enemies have guns. Why should we let them have ideas? Caligula, I don't care if they respect me so long as they fear me. Mussolini, let us have a dagger between our teeth, a bone in our hands, an infinite scorn in our hearts. Hitler, I use emotion for the many and reserve reason for the few. Idi Amin. It's not for me. I've tried human flesh. It is too salty for my taste. Hitler. What good fortune for governments that people do not think. Hitler again. It's not truth that matters, but victory. Hitler, humanitarianism is the expression of stupidity and cowardice. And Hitler again, demoralize the enemy from within by surprise, terror, sabotage, and assassination. This is the future of world. So some quotes of these guys.